You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, here's Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It is the Odd Couple. Rob Parker, Chris Broussard, filling in for Dan and the Danettes. This is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. On your Jackie Robinson Day, April 15th. And it was 1947 on this date that Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier and changed this country forever. The first black man to play Major League Baseball, and it still resonates to this day. And I love that Major League Baseball honors Jackie Robinson for what he went through, what he did, what he had to endure in order to allow black and brown players to play Major League Baseball, which was a huge, huge step back in 1947. And today, baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson today and tomorrow, which is great. It's actually today and tomorrow. All players, all on-field people will wear the number 42, which is the number that Jackie Robinson wore. And people will read a lot of stuff about Jackie Robinson today. And Chris, I have a new website out called MLBBro.com. Please go there, check out some of the stuff about Jackie Robinson. And Chris, what are your thoughts on Jackie Robinson in this day? And I think he's a hero to a lot of people.
Man, he is a great American hero. It's as simple as that. Not just to African Americans, but he should be a hero to all Americans. He is the athletic embodiment of what America has always said it stood for on paper, right? America hadn't stood for those things all the time. But freedom, liberty, and justice for all, that wasn't the case before Jackie Robinson. In sports, even. I mean, it still got issues, obviously, but even in sports, that was not the case. And so he is not only a great African-American hero, he is an American hero. And one thing I like to see, Rob, it is a sport that, let's face it, at this point doesn't have a lot of African-Americans, about 8% African-American, but yet seeing them honor Jackie Robinson the way they are, and most of the players aren't African-American, I think that just kind of highlights how he was such a hero, not just for blacks, but he should be viewed as a hero for all Americans, regardless of your race. And it's interesting, right? Because we wanted to talk about, you know, what other athletes have kind of had the type of impact that Jackie Robinson has had. And I think when you look at some of the great, you know, African-American athletes, it's interesting as I was thinking about it, because a lot of them really embody a certain aspect of black culture that they kind of bring into the mainstream, you know. And Jackie Robinson, I would say he was like the embodiment of the civil rights movement in sports.
Right.
He was like the Martin Luther King of sports. I think Muhammad Ali was like the Malcolm X of sports. Jackie Robinson got more done tangibly than Ali.
I was going to say, Chris, did you see the movie 42, the recent one that was done about Jackie Robinson?
With Chadwick Boseman?
The late Chad Boseman, who was great in that movie.
Yeah,
right?
That was a great
Absolutely
movie.
Great. But, Chris, I was almost in tears. You know what scene I'm talking about where he's playing in Philadelphia and the manager is calling him all kinds of names. And, you know, he knew he couldn't lash back out. He couldn't fight, Chris. You know what I mean? Like the way he was treated. And he understood, like you were just talking about him being closer to Martin Luther King and nonviolent. And that's why he was picked. Because
he wasn't the best player in the Negro Leagues.
He wasn't the best player in the
Which tells you something
League.
About the Negro Leagues.
Right. Negro Leagues were, right. Because Jackie Robinson, and let's not forget, Chris and I bring this up on our show all the time, because writers get bashed all the time that you know, we about picking people, Chris, and awards. Right. Let's just be honest. Jackie Robinson was the Rookie of the Year in 1947, and Chris, back then, there wasn't an AL Rookie of the Year and an NL, just one for the entire league. Jackie Robinson won that award. And remember, every baseball writer in the BBWAA back then was white. Every player was white. Every owner was white. Every umpire was white. And who was the Rookie of the Year? Jackie Robinson. Why, Chris? Because he could play.
Right.
Because he was great.
I think that speaks to, and the point you're making, is the objectivity of reporters and writers who vote. Now, look, and I'm sure you agree with this, Rob. I'm sure a lot of those white writers were racist.
Probably.
But yet, they were like, look, when it comes to my job, I got integrity. And this was the best player. So I'm voting for him. And so you're right, because we catch flack all the time, whether it's all-star games or MVP awards. Let
the writers
do
just
it. Let
don't
the
like him. They got an axe to grind, all
Man,
this stuff.
Man, y'all better be happy that the players don't pick the MVP.
Yes.
Real talk.
Yes.
I mean, Rob, you bring it up all the time. When they first let the players vote for all-star, what, 130
Didn't
or something
vote.
Like that, didn't vote for LeBron. Even more didn't vote for Durant or something. It was ridiculous.
Right.
So stop it. I mean, we're the ones, we're not tooting our own horn, but let us vote.
Exactly.
Because we don't have a horse in the race, really.
And
we don't.
And I think the Jackie Robinson voting tells you all you need to know. Seriously, I think for that time. But Chris, when you think about great players who have made an impact in this country, I don't know if there's anybody bigger than Jackie Robinson, but we would love to hear from people and their thoughts. 877-99 on Fox. Muhammad Ali is right up there, Chris, as well.
It's different ways in which things were done. As I said, I would equate Jackie Robinson to the Martin Luther King of sports. Like you said, nonviolent, turned the other cheek, you know, took all the slights and insults and, you know, just
and still excel
went through it. Right. And still excel. Muhammad Ali was more like a Malcolm X. And Muhammad Ali, you can't point to a ton of tangible things necessary. Laws changed and things like that. But psychologically, he had such a great impact on the African-American community and really, in turn, America as a whole. That's what Malcolm X was. Malcolm X stood up to the system, said what he wanted to say, called out wrongdoing by whites anytime he wanted to. And that's what Muhammad Ali did. Malcolm X didn't change laws and things like that.
But Chris,
he stood up like a man, and that's what people looked. That's what people loved about Muhammad Ali. He was unashamedly black, period.
You're 100%. And the thing that I always think of Muhammad Ali is black pride. Like he was a prideful man, and he made it like it was good to be black. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like I think that's what he was able to relay to the masses and the black people that, you know, black pride, black power, like that's what he did.
He was the embodiment of that in sports. Absolutely. Yes. Yep, you're right. And to drive the point home about certain athletes embodying a portion of black culture and pushing it into the mainstream. Now, this guy is not on the level of Jackie Robinson and Ali by any stretch as far as his impact. Well, I was going to bring up, I think you might think I'm bringing up somebody else. I was going to say Allen Iverson in terms of the hip-hop culture.
LeBron, for the stuff that he's done. We'll get to LeBron.
So I was just going to say that's another example of the embodiment of a part of black culture is Allen Iverson with the cornrows and bringing that into mainstream society. Let me get to LeBron because, Rob, LeBron, man, he has done so much. Now, obviously, I mean, somebody broke the color line. That was Jackie Robinson. Nobody can compare to that.
No.
Ali, like you said, just the courage and the black pride he displayed. But LeBron, I think, Rob, LeBron is setting a blueprint. And a lot of people think of the More Than a Vote, which was great. A lot of people think of the Trayvon Martin, you know, post with him in the Miami Heat with the hoodies. Great. Right. He's been outspoken about it. That's great, but that's good. And I salute him for that, and I'm proud of him for that and happy he does it. But it doesn't take as much courage to do that today as it took when Muhammad Ali was doing it.
No, but, I agree with that.
You know
I agree
what I'm saying?
That.
Like, yeah, yeah, it's
because
great
Muhammad
that he's doing
Ali,
it.
It ain't as
courageous for me and you to do it, right? As it took Ali. We could do it too, but it's just a different time. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Muhammad Ali didn't know if he'd ever box again or make a living,
right?
Chris. He didn't know. You know, LeBron is a gazillionaire, has plenty of money no matter what. And they can't really hurt him.
He could not play another game for the rest of his life and his generations upon generations are set. But you brought up a great point, Rob, that people lose when they think about Ali. People think of him as, oh, he had to take 3 years off because he didn't go to Vietnam. And we talk about it like he knew he was coming back.
Right.
For all he knew, everything he had worked for since he was 12 years old and started boxing, he threw it away. Not for because he was acting up, but for a legitimate cause, he was willing to walk away from his individual dream for what he felt was the higher moral principle.
And for the greater good. Not too many people are willing to do that, Chris.
No.
That's why Colin Kaepernick, when you think about where he was in his career and what he did, Chris, the mistreatment and the brutality by police, that didn't happen to him or to his family member or anything. These were people he didn't even know.
Right.
Think about that.
You're right. And he didn't even grow up like that. He grew up with a white family.
Exactly. So for him to take that kind of responsibility and step out there and give up all that he had worked for as an NFL quarterback speaks volume. So Kaepernick is another guy we can include in the conversation.
I agree.
Chris, we got some
calls. And a lot of people won't want to include him in there, but he gave up. He gave up his career. And I think, Rob, a lot of people talk about, you know, well, he did. Some people say, oh, he did it for publicity or what. No.
Nonsense.
For me, if he was a star, if he was still a star, because remember, he was a star for about 2 or 3 years.
Right.
If he was still a superstar, it would have been easier to do it because he was so good, they would have kept him in the league.
But he was a fringe player at that point.
He was a backup. To do that as a backup is huge and shows that it really means something for you. Let me throw this out, though, before we go to the callers, Rob. LeBron James.
Yep.
I don't want it to be lost what he's doing. When I say I really believe, Rob, that LeBron James is setting the blueprint for what African-American athletes should be doing today. And what I'm saying is, you and I remember we were covering the league when kind of entourages became big, right?
Yep.
You know, got brothers, you know, make it to the league and they got 3 or 4 of their best friends that they grew up with just hanging around them. They kicking it, traveling with them, all that, fine.
Free
LeBron,
drinks.
Right. I mean, and they your boys, so they didn't mean to do it. And you certainly didn't mean to do it. But in a lot of cases, they end up just sucking your money.
Right. Hangers on her. Right.
Because they just, you paying for everything for them, and they're not developing themselves in their career or anything. LeBron said, look, I got my boys. I'm going to put you guys in position. I'm going to use my position to put you in position to become moguls in your own right. And Rich Paul has become the most, right now, he's arguably the most powerful agent in the NBA. You got Maverick Carter, who is now a media mogul with Spring Hill Entertainment and all of that. And they just, there was just some news that, oh, they're going to, you know, you got Space Jam coming out, but now they're going to do House Party, which I think will be great because I thought that was a great movie. So they're doing a remake of House Party. But my point is, I would like to see these brothers, instead of just having your boys hang out and kick it, which you can do that too, but put them in position to empower themselves. When LeBron retires, Rich Paul will still be powerful. Maverick Carter will still be powerful. And then people they've brought up under them. I would like to see more guys do that. Send your boy to college. Yeah, I mean, seriously. Say, you got six years to graduate, my man. Right. When you come out, you can be my business manager, whatever. But use your connection to Nike to get them a job with Nike. Rob, you know that. That's how this business works. Yep. Who you know, or this corporate world. So, LeBron, I don't want it to be lost what he's done. He's taking it to a new level. So, I'll put him in that group.
Okay, that's fair. 877-99 on Fox. Let's go to Eddie in Seattle. You're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. I'd like to say you all are a breath of fresh air, and I'd like to commend you before I do my comment on how you try to always keep things positive, even on serious subjects. Dan Patrick and Amy Adams does that as well.
Thank you.
It's very appreciated. You're not selling wolf tickets or things like that. It's really appreciated. I have two to add. I would add Michael Jordan money-wise. I don't think anybody's going to ever give LeBron credit. It'll be years. It's like he's one of those people that people hate so much that I can't even enjoy him sometimes when he plays. But
now,
I would add
are you
Michael
on the side of love him or hate him?
Oh, I love him.
Okay, because I think he's. I think a lot of people love LeBron.
He's polarizing.
He's polarizing.
He gets love too, but
he's polarizing. Yeah.
I think it's a media polarization. And then I would add Jack Johnson. So mine would be when I saw Hank, when he ran around the bases when he broke Babe Ruth's record, right. I thought the guy that ran out there was going to kill him personally.
Right.
I'm with you on that.
You're right. I'm surprised Hank didn't respond like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like punch the dude or something. Like.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. How about Susan in Florida? You're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Susan?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yes. You know, I'm thinking about with Jackie Robinson and how brave Branch Rickey was to have Jackie Robinson play, because you can almost anticipate the hatred that was going to come from the stands and some other players and maybe the opposing manager. So it was good to see that. I mean, I wasn't born yet, but I heard the story of that. And while I'm at it, I don't know if you are aware, but in the American League, there was also a black player that was one of the first to break the black. But I don't remember his name or what team he played for.
Yep. Larry Doby came a couple of weeks later, and he played for the Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
And a great man. Thanks, Susan, for the call. Chris, you remember when he was with the Nets, right? He was a Nets front office guy.
Yep.
Larry Doby. And I got to meet him and get to know him. And what a great man, Larry Doby.
And you're right. He does get lost in history. I'm glad you brought him up. Yeah.
Because it was only 2 weeks later after Jackie. Ed in Wisconsin, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Ed?
Hey, man, what's up? Thank you for all you do. Your previous caller stole a little bit of my thunder, but to expand upon her thought, Mr. Branch Rickey, if you guys may or may not know, he consulted Joe Louis because Jackie Robinson actually, when he was in the military, punched a superior officer and knocked him out. And Branch Rickey was thinking twice, but he consulted with Joe Louis because Joe Louis knew him mm-hmm. very well, and Joe Louis vouched for him.
And Ed, you know what I love in that? If you saw the movie 42 and you know Branch Rickey's full story, it wasn't like he was just a saint and wanted to do right. Like, he was a businessman, Branch Rickey.
Correct.
And the reason he did this was he had a team in Brooklyn that wasn't selling tickets. And he sees all these black people walking around the streets of Brooklyn. Yes. And he's like, yes. How can right. I get those people in my ballpark? That's really correct. What, am I right? I mean.
Correct. I could not agree with you more.
I'm getting stomped.
Let me
get some brothers.
Exactly. Yes. But
all right, thank you for the call. We got Robert Woods, L.A. Rams wide receiver. Man, got a new quarterback. See if he's excited. He'll join us shortly. Keep it locked right here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker filling in.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, rest in peace and power, the great DMX. We are the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, filling in for Dan Patrick. This is the Dan Patrick Show, and we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest is Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Robert Woods. He's here on behalf of Castrol, who is partnering with Robert and the LA Rams this season. Robert's bringing awareness to the importance of sustainability and is partnering with Castrol to demonstrate how everyone can take small steps to help create a more sustainable future. And he'll be joining us momentarily. But Rob, there was an interesting, really good topic on Jackie Robinson. And I thought some callers brought up some really interesting points about that.
No doubt about it. I mean, no doubt. And it's a great day to reflect, Chris. And also for people, it's still inspiring that you can make change. People can make changes in this world, Chris.
No doubt.
You can make changes. Yes, it can be done when all things look bleak and it looks like things can't happen or, you know, it's unfair or whatever. You know, if people, good people are willing to band together and do what's right and allowing Jackie Robinson to play Major League Baseball, Chris, changed this country and how black people were viewed. And think about 1947. That's 20 years before the Civil Rights Movement. You know, it had to be bleak in this country in 1947.
It was definitely bleak. And like you said, he had the courage to go out there and do it. And I've said it before, Rob, to you, and I hate to say this because I don't think it's a compliment to our country, but if African Americans weren't so good in sports, I don't think we'd be as accepted as we are today, and we still got problems today. No. I really don't. If we were just average, we were okay. We had a few guys here or there. I really don't. I hate to say it because it shouldn't be based on how fast you are, how high you can jump, how great you are at baseball or basketball or whatever. It should be based on your humanity. So
I don't disagree. With you. I think that in this country, because how important athletics and sports is woven to our society, Chris, like for us, there's all these great thinking people and ideas and smart people and whatnot, but they don't get the politicians, whatever. They don't get nearly the praise or the love that black athletes get.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's why those guys often are looked to, you know, people say, oh, I don't want sports to be mixed in with my politics or these things to be mixed in with my sports. But that's the entryway. And those are the people.
Get rid of the issues that the athletes bring up.
Right.
We don't want to bring it up either, but we got to because we keep having these problems. So, all right, on that note, let's get to Robert Woods, LA Rams wide receiver. As I said, he's here on behalf of Castrol. which is partnering with Robert and the Rams, and they're bringing awareness to the importance of sustainability and partnering to demonstrate how everyone can take small steps to help create a more sustainable future. Robert, welcome to the Dan Patrick Show. And can you expound on what you're doing with Castro?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Yeah, we partnered up with Castro. We're raising awareness locally and across the United States. We're traveling and trying to reduce our impact on our environment any way we can. 2 weeks ago, we were just in Los Angeles cleaning up the park. We had volunteers come out, and with Keep America Beautiful, they came out as well. We were able to have a good group of people to come out and clean up the streets, pick up waste and trash in our communities. And even for away games this year, we'll be every city we visit, we'll be doing the same, asking volunteers to come out and be a part of it. And if they can't, really just trying to have an impact any way they can, whether it's in their own homes, limiting electricity use, recycling, using less plastic, public transportation, really any way can help. And they could join the team like that any way possible.
Robert, how do you get people to understand? Because the biggest thing is, I think most people don't think even their little bit means anything, or you know what I mean, is changing things. But if you could get people to understand that every little bit actually does count. You know what I mean? The little stuff that you do at your house, recycling and things like that, does make a difference. How hard is it to get that point across to people?
Yeah, I was listening to you guys' conversation a little bit earlier. It's just having an impact, inspiring. We as the leaders and athletes, we're able to put a spotlight on this and be able to encourage others. Other players to come out, telling a friend to come out. And really, once you get going, it's kind of inevitable. You want to keep it going, keep the change going. And that's why the Driving for Change program is there. This is just a start, a kickstart, encouraging fans to be a part of it. And I think once you inspire others how important this is to our environment, to our communities, I think it will transition into that. Right now it's inspirational, bringing people aboard and showing them the small steps they can take.
All right, Robert, you've been with the Rams 4 years, and it's been a really good 4 years. Three times in the playoffs, once to the Super Bowl. I'm sure, we can just look at your numbers and see that you had a good connection, a great connection with Jared Goff. What were your thoughts when they traded him away for Matt Stafford?
Yeah, great connection with them. I always tell them, best quarterback I had, Jared, best quarterback I had. But really just coming a part of that offense and being able to showcase my game and showcase my talents as not only as a blocker but as a true receiver, I credit that to this offense and Jared being able to place the ball on the right spot at the right time. You know, got us to the Super Bowl, had many playoff runs. And really, I was shocked when the trade happened because, you know, it's like, oh, man, this is our quarterback. This is our franchise quarterback. And just that the trade was shocking and then also exciting at the same time to get a guy like Matthew Stafford, a guy who has accomplished so much in the NFL, always one of the top leaders in passing yards. And as a receiver, you know, you got to appreciate that. Always having a quarterback who can place the ball in his receiver's hands.
And he had Calvin Johnson, a first ballot Hall of Fame receiver. But are you surprised, though, that Stafford never won a playoff game in Detroit in 12 years? Like, he has a lot of individual stats, but the Lions didn't win a lot.
Yeah, I would say that's why it's a perfect combination for our team. You see with our offense and with actually our whole team, the success we have being able to make the playoffs. I want to say 3 out of the 4 years had a Super Bowl run. And then to get a guy like Stafford who has all the personal stats, who did have Nate Burleson on his other side, yeah, Calvin Johnson, also with Golden Tate. He's always had good receivers. So I think really just to get him a part of our winning culture on our team would be really good for him and his career to finally put it together. Let's bring our winning culture with his winning personality together, and let's accomplish some great things.
The Rams, they obviously think this is an upgrade. Do you feel that way?
We got to see. I would say you got to see. It's different. You know, this is a whole new environment for Stafford to come leaving Detroit. He's been in one place his whole career. I would love for it to be an upgrade because just for the things that we accomplished with Jared Goff, I think if we do have an upgraded quarterback, I think that's huge for our team. We've been in the playoffs. I think this could get us over the hump. If so, get us into that Super Bowl and finally win it. We got there with Jared, but let's see what Matthew Stafford can bring to this offense. He does have some stuff to prove. Like you said, he hasn't won any playoff games. He has the individual stats. But, where are his teammates now? Where are the guys? And we're going to help him accomplish these things.
Robert, we've heard from a lot of baseball players and NBA players now that they're allowing fans in the ballpark. As a football player, what was it like a year ago, you know, with no fans and the, you know, at the beautiful new home stadium for you guys here in Los Angeles, and then the idea of maybe the commissioner said maybe there's full stands come football season. But is that something that was different playing, not playing in front of fans?
Yeah, last year was like, you know, you're going to the stadiums, it's quiet. You hear the air conditioning running. it's like a glorified scrimmage. You're able to.
You can hear if a guy didn't eat, his stomach was growling, right, or something.
Seriously. So I look forward to, you know, having fans come back into the stadium and really being able to see our stadium for the first time. It's really a great atmosphere. Can't wait for SoFi Stadium to be filled, the Infinity Board to be seen. I think we have the best stadium in the NFL, and it needs to be filled with fans, screaming Rams fans. And from a player's perspective, just feeling that energy again, you know, it makes the moments even bigger. It makes the wins more enjoyable, and being able to interact with the fans when you score touchdowns. It's very, very memorable. Can't wait for these things to get back into play and pack out our new stadium if possible.
Robert, I talk a lot about quarterbacks and intangibles. You look at Tom Brady, Joe Montana. Like, what made them so great was not just – we're really not their arm strength or anything like that, their athleticism. I think a big part of it is their intangibles, their ability to – lead the locker room, to get everybody to follow them, to get everybody to believe in them. You're a receiver, so that you can clearly see that either lacking or that as a strength of a quarterback. Can you kind of, for those, the laymen out there that don't really understand that or poo-poo intangibles, can you kind of talk about the importance of that and even describe it? Like, how do you know if a guy has it? What is it about a guy that can make the team want to follow him and believe in him and all that?
Yeah, I would say first it comes with your work ethic, your attitude, how you approach the game in the weight room, film study, and on the practice field. I think all these things have an impact, and of course your play has to back it up, and especially at the quarterback position, all eyes are on you. You are the leader of the team. Regardless of age and how many years experience. So really I would think the quarterback position is one of the key positions that make a team. And with our team having a lot of leadership present is very key because we're able to just have our quarterback have the confidence because we have the confidence as well in him. But even just our play, our defensive play. We have great guys on the defensive side. And really, I always credit success to confidence in this league. As long as you're able to keep your quarterback confident, have them believing in itself, being a leader, we always do self-talk and talking to our teammates, hyping them up before the game. Because really, when you believe it, and like the whole thing, if you believe it, you can achieve it. It's really true at this level.
Let me ask you one last thing, and I know you know you were happy with Jared Goff. You guys had a connection, but when you look around the NFL and you see some of these other quarterbacks, and you see Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, you look at those guys and go, you know, like what it would be like to be a receiver for one of those guys. Is that hard not to think about?
No, I don't. Obviously, well, let me take that back. You do obviously think about playing with Tom Brady. I think every receiver's dream would be to play with Tom Brady and just experience what it's like to play with one of the greatest players and greatest quarterbacks of all time. But the others, no. Obviously, they're good, and they're good at what they do. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, they're some of the best in the game.
Right.
But I'd rather rock with my quarterback who I've grinded with and put in the sweat and the tears. And I have total confidence in our quarterback's play. When we had Jared, now that we have Stafford as well, I'd rather rock with our guy.
And, Robert is a smart man. You are a smart man. He's like,
we're about to go throw the football.
All right, I ain't going to say nothing that's going to stop me from getting the football because I want to play with Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, right?
And even like you said, it's the tandem. It's Aaron Rodgers and another receiver. I'll take myself and our quarterback over anybody else.
Well, wait. Y'all got close last year. So we will be watching and looking for some big things from you guys this year. That's Robert Woods,
LA
Rams wide receiver. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rob.
Yep. All right. It is the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. In for Dan Patrick, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Dan Patrick Show, but I am not Dan Patrick. I'm Chris Broussard.
You don't sound like Dan Patrick.
No, I don't. My man Rob Parker, you just heard his voice. We're the Odd Couple, and we're filling in for Dan. Coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We're brought to you by Mercedes. Now, with Mercedes, you got to understand this. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options and cutting-edge technology to their five-star sales service and financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. So go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Rob, Carlos Rodon's Chicago White Sox, he was so close to the perfect game. Now, he did get the no-no, the no-hitter, and so that's certainly accomplishment.
You know, I was going to say not too many people, pitchers in baseball, get to pitch a no-hitter, right?
Yeah, and so that's awesome. But the perfect game, it was a little controversial because he, with one out left in the ninth, I believe it was,
yeah,
he hit an Indians batter on the back foot. All right, and a lot of people, Roberto Perez is who it was. A lot of people, you know, were feeling like Perez should have got out of the way. He maybe didn't follow baseball etiquette because he knew the no-no was there. And it was 8-0, Rob. It wasn't even like it was
right.
a close
so
game.
So it wasn't like trying to get on base to right. be like, you know, it's 1-0 where you're trying to get on base, right?
But I saw it, and I don't think he really had much of a chance to get out of the way. Like, you can tell when a batter either leans into a pitch to get hit or just clearly doesn't make the effort when he could have to get out of the way. I don't think that was the case with Perez. I think he just got hit, and it was unfortunate. And he was, you know, you could see him after the play. He was hurt to some degree. So I have no problem with what Perez did whatsoever.
I'm with you. I think people are saying he should have got out of the way. No, he got hit. There was nothing that he could do. He didn't lean into the ball, Chris, trying to get on base, trying to get hit or something, you know. So
right.
It's unfortunate that, you know, the perfect game wasn't completed, but a no-hitter is pretty sweet. And this is the only thing, Chris, that's really strange to me. Remember, baseball wanted to kind of limit the home runs and whatnot. They kind of played with the ball, the kind of dulling them.
Yeah, I don't think they want to limit home runs.
Well, they wanted to not be that crazy, right? But there have been two no hitters already this season. The season's only 2 weeks old.
Well, Rob, look, I'm glad you brought it up because we talked about it last night on our show, the Odd Couple, how in the Atlantic League they're going to experiment with moving the plate back, or mound back 12 inches from home plate to help hitters, they think, put the ball in play more. Not so much home runs, but singles, ground outs, fly right. ball, you know, just action. So we see action. What do you think? Because here's a stat I want to throw at you. They were saying a decade ago, 29% of plate appearances ended in either a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. So obviously not a lot of action outside of the home run. Today, Rob, it's up to 37% of at-bats end in one of those three ways. Do you think that we're going to see more no-hitters this year, at least until they straighten out whatever they're doing with the ball? Like, you think that's going to happen?
Something's going on. Two no-hitters in the first 2 weeks is pretty impressive. I mean, Chris, you know, there's not that many no-hitters, period. And you got two in 2 weeks. But I think I don't want the mound altered or changed. You know, we had that before where the mound was higher in the 60s, Chris, when Sandy Koufax and Bob Gibson and those guys were unhittable, right? Then they had to lower the mound because it was too high, gave the pitchers an advantage over the hitters.
Yep.
And now in this case, I just think we need to get back to not allowing hitters to just swing for the fences. And what I mean is, if you strike out 150 times, you're going back to the minor leagues. Shorten up your swing, Chris. Try to make contact. Hit the ball to the opposite field. Bunt to get on base. Like, there's all kinds of other things that you can do. The shift is no good, but I'm with you. I don't want to just see home runs and walk. I mean, home runs and strikeouts. I don't want to see. That's not baseball. It's not.
I agree with you, but the problem is the analytics show. That's why they're doing this, Rob. We know
you're right.
Because the analytics show, hey, if I can get two home runs and a couple walks in a game, you know what I mean? Forget the singles and things like that. But it's not good for the game. It's not good for the product. So, I'm with you. There needs to be a change of philosophy is really what we need
to see. We shouldn't accept strikeouts anymore. You know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't accept it. At one point, Chris, it wasn't acceptable.
That used
now
to be a source of shame.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm overstating, but you know what I mean? The strikeout, that was like the worst thing,
You didn't want to strike out.
Nobody wanted to strike out. All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. In for Dan Patrick. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You know what to do. Keep it locked.